Today, we're talking about music. There are all sorts of instruments out there. There's some very unusual ones too. Here's some of the strangest that I've come across. An instrument with carrots. I believe this was a competition in China. That's a watermelon. And I'm not sure what instrument that is. But it's green. And he's playing it. Yeah, a kind of a flute. Today, we're going to be looking at not unusual instruments, but a most unusual choir performance. Welcome back to Storyline. I'm glad that you've joined me. This may be your first time watching Storyline, and I hope you feel a part of this program as we dig into the lives of Bible characters. We're coming to you live, and this means that if you want to ask a question or contribute to the program, you can do so just a little later in our show. It's simple, and you can do it in a variety of ways. You can call toll-free 888-9-STORYLINE, or you can use 707-210-70 to call or text. For more instant interaction, find Storyline on Facebook. Storyline is all about stories, and who doesn't like a good story? The Bible contains a collection of the greatest accounts covering adventure, romance, war, heroes, you name it, the Bible has it. But what makes the Bible very unique is its focus. In Storyline, we focus on these special Bible people and the challenges that they faced. We step into their world to study their victories and their challenges. We want to get close to these Bible characters, and in the process, we want to learn practical, hands-on things for our lives. The best part of it all is that in these stories, you will find a God who loves us intensely and immensely. Well, back to our story. Every song has a story, and every performance has a story too. So today on Storyline, we look at the background story to one of the strangest choir performances. You can find it in your Bible in 2 Chronicles 20. Let's rewind about 2,800 years. Jehoshaphat had just become king of Judah. And he was trying hard to institute reforms. He wanted to follow God. And then came the bad news. A vast army was coming towards Judah. This wasn't just one army. No, this was three different, normally antagonistic nations that had all joined forces to march out against Judah. Jehoshaphat reacts strangely. You know, what would I do? I'm pretty sure I would be out there counting my army or improving the fortifications of Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat doesn't do any of these things. Instead, he sends messengers and calls a prayer meeting in Jerusalem. He gets everyone together, all in God's temple, and suggests that they pray and ask God for help. He has the wisdom, the military strategy, to see that this is the only way out. He can never face off this united force. So everyone comes together at the temple and they pray. Jehoshaphat takes the lead in this prayer meeting. And it's a beautiful prayer recorded in Scripture. First of all, he reminds God of his promises. He praises God for being creator. He doesn't just get in there and start begging. He uses God's promises as the foundation of his prayer. And then in that absolutely classical Bible text, he says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Surprisingly, this is not a men-only event. This is a total family worship. We have the men, the woman, and the Bible even mentions the small children. They're all together. They all understand the gravity of the situation, and they're all united in seeking God's help. What would God do? Would God hear their prayer? This united family worship, would God be attentive? Does God hear their prayer? Of course he does. God hears the prayers of the men, the woman, the little children. God hears Jehoshaphat's prayer and he answers. He sends a message to someone we haven't heard of yet, Jahaziel. Jahaziel is involved in the music ministry of the temple, and God sends a message specifically to him. It's a very encouraging message. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. This battle isn't yours. God is going to fight for you. What a great message. God goes on through his messenger to explain in detail what is going to happen, exactly where the Israelite army needs to be and exactly where the other armies will be. And then, well, Israel will have a role. They will go out tomorrow and face the army, but they don't have to be afraid. This is the instructions. Stand firm, watch, and see God's salvation. God has spoken. Jehoshaphat, the men, the woman, the children, they pause. How are they going to react? Well, this prayer service suddenly changes and becomes a praise service. I wonder how everyone slept that night after that tremendous prayer service and praise service. The Bible doesn't tell us. We do hear the next morning King Jehoshaphat echoing the same sentiments that he had at the prayer and praise service the day before. He's out there encouraging his army. They're ready. No more singing. Now it's time for action. Jehoshaphat encourages his army. He reminds them to trust in God's prophets, trust in God's salvation. I wonder if a few people were beginning to feel nervous as they saw their armor, as they watched the army muster, fall into formation. It was here that Jehoshaphat does something unique, something strange, something weird. He consults with the people and then he appoints a choir to march in front of the army. That's right. An unarmed group of people will be marching ahead of the army into battle. This probably isn't the first time that music has been used in military purposes or for military purposes, but this is definitely the first time that an unarmed choir marches ahead of the army, not inciting the army to fight, but singing praise songs to God. We even have a line of the song. Unfortunately, we don't know what the melody was, but we do know a line of the song. It's part of the lyrics are, His love endures forever. What an interesting way to go into battle. So the army, the choir, march off into battle. This will not be their battle. This will be God's battle. The army is marching, the choir is singing, and God? God is acting on behalf of his people. This vast army that has gathered, that has united against Israel, turns. They all turn on each other and begin fighting amongst themselves. By the time Israel reaches the lookout point over the valley where this vast army is gathered, all they see are dead bodies. The armies have completely wiped each other out. In reality, the battle was not Israel's. They sang praises, they stepped out in faith, and they saw God's salvation. If you were waiting for me to play the piano at the end of the story, I'm sorry to have disappointed you, but it did feel good to sit there and get the feel of a musician. But we do have the real deal with us. Clayton Nunez is going to participate in our hands-on segment. Clayton comes from Brazil and he's a talented musician, composer, writer, singer. Well, Clayton, we have a lot of instruments here on the set. I wonder which ones you're going to play for us. Maybe you're going to play them all.
Well, maybe I will. Or maybe I will pretend that I'm playing. I don't know.
If you want to hear Clayton play and share some interesting facts about music, stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. Clayton Nunez, the mastermind behind our theme music that you're busy listening to for Storyline and for all of our Hope Channel's new live programs, well, he's right here with us. So welcome, Clayton.
Well, thank
you
for having me.
It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, what is your favorite instrument?
Well, my favorite instrument is not here.
We didn't get to include it.
It would be very hard to bring a piano to this table.
A piano.
That's why. Yeah, the piano is my instrument of choice. Mm-hmm. It's the one that I feel more comfortable with playing. Yeah.
But you can play any one of these here.
I can make some sound out of them, but I cannot. I'm not a trumpet player or a French horn player, but I can make some sound out of it.
Well, that is impressive. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You better run us through. I don't even know the names. I know this one. Because this one I attempted to play, and I think I can play London's Burning on this one. But that's probably about as far as I could get. But tell us about the rest here. That's a trumpet?
That's a trumpet, yes.
What is this?
This is a French horn.
All right. Well, how do we play that?
Well, the French horn is one of the oldest instruments.
Well, this one looks old.
Yeah, this one is very old. I wouldn't say old, I would say antique. See?
It's well used.
It's fancier.
Now, instruments generally improve their value with time, right?
Not really.
Not really.
But sometimes, if you have like a Stradivarius violin, for example,
it'll get better and
millions,
better.
But I don't think this is the case.
All right.
Anyway, but it still works. Mm-hmm. It can be played. And that's the sound of the French horn. So it's a very... So I'm not a very good player, as you can see.
Is this a solo instrument?
It can be used as a solo, mm-hmm. but it's very... We will recognize the sound of the French horns session, especially on when you have like a big scoring for movies, uh-huh. that are soaring French horns, that's what you hear.
So this gives a soaring feeling.
Yeah, soaring feeling.
Exactly. Okay. So what else would you like to demonstrate for us?
Let me see. We have here the penny whistle, which is very well known for the Irish music. And it sounds very evocative, if mm-hmm. I can say so.
I see what you mean. A person feels homesick immediately, even if you're at home. Okay.
Exactly.
And this looks almost like a hot brush or something.
It does. It's not a very, it looks very cool and very modern. It's not that modern. It's, if we're talking about technology, mm-hmm. anything past 5 years is old.
It's old. So this is an old instrument too.
Yeah, this is probably like 15 years old.
Is it a flute, an electric flute?
It can be a flute. It can be a clarinet. It can be anything you want. It's a MIDI instrument.
Well, play us two wildly different instruments.
So, okay. I would have to change down there.
Oh, okay. sounds lovely.
It sounds sort of like a French horn.
So that's meant to be a French horn. I mean, it's a French horn. Yeah, well, okay. French horn sound.
Something like it, yeah.
Okay.
So you can play a variety of different sounds, and you can hook it up to other computers or synthesizers and get different sounds, and it's very interesting.
Well, I asked for two sounds, but let's go on because we want to hear a trumpet blast.
Oh, a trumpet. Oh, a trumpet.
There we go.
Okay.
We definitely need a trumpet blast.
All right. It will be a blast.
Okay.
That's it. That's
this is why people use trumpets for battles and for signaling things. You can't miss this trumpet sound.
It's a very another very recognizable sound.
Now, these different instruments I noticed with the little what was this again?
It's an Irish flute. It's called a tin flute. It's called a penny whistle.
Okay, penny whistle, I'll remember.
Penny whistle,
all right.
Yes.
So I noticed with the penny whistle, there's sort of, it had that homesick, longing kind of feel to it. Do you get affected by different musical instruments?
Definitely, definitely. As you said, you feel homesick when you listen to this. Mm-hmm. And different instruments have this effect on us. Some of them are purely biological. Mm-hmm. We have a biological reaction to a big timpani playing, for example. Mm-hmm. You have this immense, huge sound, and it's...
I guess all those vibrations
just
feel coming in.
And and some of it is cultural. Mm-hmm. When you have the Irish flute, for example, it will remind you of a place, a destiny. Mm-hmm. When you hear a center, when you hear a sitar, an Indian sitar, mm-hmm. it's very characteristic, and it
takes you to that country.
Exactly.
It takes you to that culture.
It takes you there, exactly. When you hear a very sensuous saxophone line playing, it messes up with your emotions. That's what music does.
So you're saying there's a very close connection between music and emotions?
Most definitely, yes.
And it takes it even further than just emotions. It takes you places with the whole thought system or even worldview.
Yeah. Music is something amazing, amazing. And well, as you mentioned, I've been working on the themes for the different programs. And the idea behind this whole, all this music,
yes,
is to connect people to the message or to the theme or to prepare you for what's coming. So mm-hmm. there's a very intimate relationship between tones, between melodies, with what you think, the way we act, and yes.
So there's this close neck connection here. Now, the Bible, we know, is full of music.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Psalms are a hymnal, a whole connection, a collection of songs, really. Mm-hmm. What connection do you see between music and your relationship with God?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, there's no way to disconnect music with my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I've been working as a music minister for 8 years, and music has its own way to, again, connect our emotions with whatever we're doing.
So not just our emotions, but also certain thoughts that you would bring
a whole lot in as well. The thing is, the Bible is very clear on worship. It says that we have to worship with mind and spirit and heart. And the music is the heart part of it.
So that's the connection.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, I caught myself more than once watching a beautiful sunset or something like that, and I just break in praise. I can't hold it. So it's very intimate, the relationship I have with the worship and music.
Wow. Clayton, it's been great having you join us. Thank you so much. For the rest of us, well, it's been great to meet the man behind the music, that storyline music, of course. Now, the music goes on. And after the break, we have a well-known guest help us hit the right note in our story. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You know, watching TV can sometimes get really lonely.
but not on Storyline. We have all sorts of tools to help you connect. You can call us, text us, find Storyline on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, download the app, or subscribe to the HD podcast. Whew, almost ran out of breath there. You don't have to ask profound questions or make dazzling comments. If Storyline has impacted you in some special way, or if you have a Bible story that you'd like us to tackle, please let us know. I'd love to hear from you. Solo's all good and well, but when a group of people get together to make music, that's where the action really happens. So today on Storyline, we get right off with our own quartet for discussion. We have Pastor David Franklin, co-host of Let's Pray. Thanks for staying longer today, David. It's been a very long day for you, hasn't it?
It has, but we're blessed to be here.
Yeah, and I'm really blessed to have you part of our quartet.
Thank you.
We also have Robert Martinez.
Yes.
Yeah, got your last name.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you're a composer, conductor, performer, and a teacher.
Yes.
At an academy.
Yes, I teach at a Christian academy, mm-hmm. and I wear many hats. Including, I also teach some Bible classes as well. But music is my love.
That's your passion.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's great to have you with.
Thank you.
And then I'd like to introduce again Clayton to you. Does he look different without his trumpet? And we're really happy to have you with us today.
I'm happy to be here. I'm really blessed.
Okay, let's dive into our Bible story. Just in case you don't know where we are, we're in 2 Chronicles 20. So 2 Chronicles 20 is really a strange story to connect with music, because it's actually a story about a political emergency. Hmm. We have King Jehoshaphat that's faced with this big coalition army. He's way outnumbered. And yet, throughout this story, we have music. So let's begin by looking at the music places in our story.
Let's do that.
No? Okay, we have some Bibles and other interesting things here. All right, let's have a look at 2 Chronicles. We start off with our story. We have everyone getting together in the sanctuary. We won't read the whole thing. It'll take too long. But can someone have a read for us over here? Our first music incident. Chapter 20, verse 19.
Yes, it simply says, "Then some Levites from the Korathites and the Korhites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice."
So that music we can't ignore.
No, we can't ignore that one. That one's going to be right in our face. It's going to be loud, which I imagine if there were people around, they probably heard it too. So can't ignore that.
No, and the strange thing is that this music comes right at the end of a prayer meeting.
It does. Okay. It does. In fact, as you were pointing out some of those passages that we skipped there, essentially what happens is there's three armies that go to attempt to wage war against Jehoshaphat and Judah. And so here they are in this on the verge of being attacked, and they call the folks together to pray.
So it's a strange ending for a prayer meeting. It converts from a prayer meeting into a praise meeting.
Yes.
Although nothing's changed yet. Now, in our next music verse, we see the change. Let's have a look at verse 22.
All right, it says, "Now when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated."
So this is where the music, our praise service, really becomes the action service over here.
Absolutely, absolutely. They go from the prayer meeting to that turning into a worship session after the prayer meeting, then to actually going out to battle, putting the choir at the front of the battle, And singing praises to God. And as they're singing praises, we see that the ambushes were set. Mm-hmm. God used angels or used his power to set ambushes against those who were coming to attack his people.
Well, looking through human eyes, it would be just plain crazy to put musicians in the front line. Musicians are not very well known by being like strong, right?
They want you out there, man.
Right in front.
Right in front.
They say we're lovers, not fighters. We're not the first ones to go in.
Sure, know? Sure.
So this is really a test of faith.
Of course.
They've heard God's message, and now they're doing something to show that they've understood the message.
Yeah. Sure.
They haven't sent out their crack troops just in case. They send out the choir.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's no turning back here.
Yes.
Once again, God is saying, look, it's not the sound, it's not the music, it's me. Mm-hmm. And we remember in Jericho, the trumpets blow and the people scream. But we know that was not what made the walls tumble down. Mm-hmm. It was his power. Here again, he's saying, look, it's not the music, it's me. Mm-hmm. But if you trust me, just put the music there and everything will be fine.
So this is where the action really occurs.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But now we have one more incident of music compacted into this story, although it comes 4 days later, at mm-hmm. least. Verse 28, you want to read it for us, Clayton?
Sure. 28. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord.
And now this is the after service.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be up your alley, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the piano, though.
They didn't, unfortunately.
Right. But they still went into the house of the Lord with music after so they've now had a battle, they've now had a victory, mm-hmm. and now they go into the house of the Lord praising. You know, I mean, I just love that picture mm-hmm. because, I mean, you know, can you think about church service on the weekend if people went into the house of the Lord? Just praising God from the time you enter into the house to the time you leave church. Mm-hmm. It's just all praise and worship. That'd be awesome.
It's fantastic. It's very interesting because we always think that we only reach God through prayer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if we face some difficulties in life, we pray.
Right.
And then afterwards, if everything goes well, we pray.
Mm-hmm.
But we can reach God also through praise.
Right.
And it's an amazing way of reaching God. God is pleased with our praises.
Mm-hmm. What I love about the story is that before the battle, they're praising God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then after the battle, they're praising God.
Right.
So it's a continual praise. And I think that's what we need to do in our lives. Mm-hmm. When we're coming, you know, against some type of difficulty in our lives, we need to praise. We need to mm-hmm. also praise God. And you know what? That also does great things for our soul.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've left out during the battle. They're also praising God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, it's really during the battle that the action begins.
Right.
Yeah. Over here, it seems the Bible seems to make this connection in verse 22. It says, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes over here. Do you think there's this direct connection between singing and God's action in the story?
Well, I do. I mean, I think that there's a direct connection between worship and God's action.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a direct connection between being obedient and God's action, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens here is that they are taking God at his word and then they're stepping out by faith. And as a result of their trust in his word, then God is saying, I'm going to honor your faith.
Exactly.
You know, so the singing is just an expression of their obedience to God's word.
Mm-hmm. And there's another thing. I don't know if you like sports, mm-hmm. and I'm from Brazil, and in Brazil we love soccer.
Yep.
Although I'm not a very, sports fan, a very enthusiastic sports fan. But I was born and raised in a culture that loves sports, mm-hmm. and you know from the beginning that you don't mess with a team or with another. People that are cheering,
fans from another team.
Exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You don't mess with fans uh-huh. while they're singing their hymn, their
Correct.
Anthem.
Yes, yes.
You know, because, why? Because they're intimately connected with what they're saying, what they're singing. And the enemy cannot reach you when you are singing your anthems because you're connected to what you believe.
I'm going to jump in here quickly
sure.
then. Are you saying, in other words, that very quickly, if I sing the right tune, God is obliged to act?
I wouldn't go that far, but I know one thing for sure. The enemy cannot reach you.
The enemy can't reach you.
The enemy cannot reach you.
When you're connected with God, and I like what you were saying earlier, I think there's a connection between this idea of prayer and praise and the fact that the enemy can't reach you. You know, singing and praise can actually be prayer, because prayer is just communication with God. Uh-huh. So if you're locked in praise and worship as you're communicating with God, then that might as well be prayer, and thus you are in the presence of God, and therefore the enemy can't reach you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always think about around the throne of God. The Bible says that the angels are continually praying.
Yeah.
Holy, holy, holy.
Uh-huh. And there's continuous music.
Absolutely.
Going.
So I think God, in my opinion, yes, absolutely, God is going to listen to you, because that's what God is, a God of music, and, and among other things. But if he has music continually going on, he's going to listen to our praise.
Oh, yeah.
Music is heaven's language, you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we are talking about the role that music plays in Jehoshaphat's success story. Perhaps you don't feel like breaking into praise songs, especially if you've ever tried to get a group of kids or adults to sing when they don't want to. After the break, we'll focus on finding the right rhythm in our family worship time. Stay with us. We're back and we're discussing the importance of music. And I've got this great musical team with me over here. Maybe we should get you guys to sing at some point.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
Okay, how does music affect us spiritually, besides being a prayer or the language of heaven? How else would it really affect us, music?
Well, I think music has a great effect on us. I mean, I just look at my kids. I have a 2.5-year-old, and I just hear him singing. There's a song at church that my son hears, and it says "Woolly Woolly Lamb, Woolly Woolly Lamb," and you just see him singing it just out of the blue. And to me, I think my son, in essence, is communicating with God, and in his own little way, that's his own way of spiritually communicating with God. He may not know exactly how to say it, but that's what he knows what to do. And to me, that's touching, because I see my own little son communing with God through music, and that's awesome.
I think you hit the nail on the head, especially when you said that he may not know exactly how to say it, but it's like the song helps him to say what he wants to say. And I think music does that for us. It helps us to say things to God or express emotions that are on our hearts that we don't always know how to form into words. And a writer helps us to do that, or even the melody can help us to connect our hearts to God in a certain way. I know that's what it does for me spiritually. Sometimes I'm confused, and by singing to God, I'm able to express the deeper emotion that's on my heart.
So in music is that extra language that we can employ when speaking to God, or even for small people that maybe don't understand everything cognitively yet, they can also communicate to God and to different ways of seeing the world through music.
I think so.
I have heard many stories of people that were like raised in the church, and someday they were like feeling empty, and they passed by a church, they heard the song, and automatically all the experience came back to them.
Pulled them
and
back.
And they felt this need to get in the church and hear the music. And I've heard stories of people that just by listening to a choir, their hearts were just touched, and they felt the need to just surrender all. And that's the power of the music.
And in fact, if I just may add, Clayton, it's just so true what you're saying. As a pastor, I know that some people come to church for the music and not for the sermon.
So the music had better be a sermon.
There you go.
But you have to admit, when there's nice music, when the music is uplifting and praiseworthy, doesn't that make your service that much more easier?
Absolutely. It makes it a blessing. It becomes a complete experience. Yeah.
Let's jump back into our story over here. We find something very interesting that we don't meet very often in Scripture. We're still in 2 Chronicles 20. Let's have a look at verse 13. Let's have a look at verse 13 before all the music begins. Verse 13. Someone want to read it for us?
All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord.
That's pretty significant. A lot of these things were men-only events. At least it sounds like it from a report. So here the woman got in on it too. But it wasn't just the woman. It was the children. And it wasn't just the children, but I think your child would have qualified as well. How old is your son?
He is now about 10 days old.
10 days. So he could have joined this service as well.
Oh, yes. He would be there for sure.
Now, this sounds like a very big family worship. And it begins with a very serious prayer service, and it ends up in a praise service with all the singing. Mm. And then the rest of our story speeds on over here. Is music always, or should music always be a part of family worship?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important. It prepares us for worship. I think, you know, after a long day, a hard day at work, and you can sit down for family worship and sing a song, even if, like for me, it's Woolly Woolly Lamb, you know, but it just
lightens my heart. You better learn the Woolly Woolly Lamb.
It's a great,
song. But, you know, just lighten, it prepares you for worship. And I think in the Bible is clear when we read some of these stories that music prepares us, prepares us for worship.
And I think that is particularly with young children, music can be a tool for memorization. And so, you know, you're trying to teach them scripture, you're trying to help them to learn spiritual principles, and music becomes that an easy avenue for them to catch lessons that may be a little bit more difficult for them to teach, or rather it's for them to learn when you're doing Bible study. So music
is important. It's a great memory aid.
Yes.
And that's not just for the kids.
That's correct.
Yeah, that helps.
Us adults too.
Sometimes our memories aren't quite as sparky as what they were.
That's right.
Music might do the trick for us there too.
I would agree.
So, all right. Now, all of you are involved or have been involved or are currently involved with young people, children, music. Now, the big question is, we know this is a wonderful teaching aid. We know it's a part of worship. What happens if the kids don't want to sing?
Why are you looking at me? Okay. I don't think that children don't want to sing. Mm-hmm. I think music is communication. If you can reach them in their own language, they will respond. Hmm. Of course, it's very hard for anybody to speak a foreign language. And it's very, very much harder to enter to a language that you don't speak, because you're not understanding the question. So music is communication. If you have something that will be meaningful for them, that will touch them in not only their emotions, but that will make sense for them in the rational way, mm-hmm. they will respond. They will sing.
So you've got to find the translator
exactly.
for that other language.
Exactly. Over here.
Well, I think you've given us some great starters. Maybe we can throw this question to our audience. Maybe we can ask our viewers if you have any experience with particularly children and music and family worship. Please let us know. We'd love to hear about it. Well, what happens if the parents aren't particularly musical?
That's a good one. You know, it's funny. My mother, she could not carry a tune, you know, and I think I got my musical ability from her, but that's a different story altogether. But, you know, my mom could not sing, but my father was a great singer, and, you know, we would just sing together as a family when I was young. And I think the biggest thing is parents that may not have an ability to sing need to support it. Support their kids being in some type of lesson or you know, financial support. And that's probably the best thing a parent can do to help support music, even if they can't sing or they may not be able to carry a tune. You'll be surprised that sometimes, you know, it skips a generation. So that, at least
then,
in my case, that's what happened.
Well, I agree with you. I can't play a piano. I can't play any musical instrument. But my daughter is playing now, and it's pretty nice to have worship and say, play this, play that, and that does feel good.
You brought a very important point. I grew up involved with music. Mm-hmm. My mother is very musical. My father is not. But nonetheless, he always supported me. I mean, I don't think he, by any stretch of imagination, thought that I would be a musician for a living. But he always supported me, and that was very important.
That support was so yes. important to you. Mm-hmm. Well, with the help of my MP3 player, I can listen to music every waking moment. I can even fall asleep with it if I want to. But is this a good idea? After the break, we'll explore the pros and the cons of our music choices and how this affects our relationship with God. So stay with us. We've been speaking about the use of music for worship time. Now, some of the music in our story was during the actual prayer service, but the surprising choir performance was definitely not in a traditional worship service setting. It was on the march into battle. So we have to ask ourselves, what about all the other hours of the day when we're not in a church service or when we're not in family worship? Does music still play a role in our relationship with God at those times?
Absolutely. I think that music is, it can carry us through our daily experience. I know that many people that are members of my congregation, while they're at work, they're listening to Christian music so that their mind stays focused on what the devotional experience, hopefully, that they had that morning. And so I think it's that thing that can carry us. We may not always be able to sit down with a Bible, although in this day and age, you could be listening to the Bible as well. So that can be carrying you also. But music is that thing that kind of, you know, can keep you motivated throughout the day.
Can keep your connection.
Connected, yeah.
Yes, Robert.
And I think, you know, as a musician, you know, we're surrounded with music every day, mm-hmm. I can assume. And sometimes just that quiet is great, at least for me. But you know, the music's still going in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking of the piece that I have to teach my students or the piece that I would like to write down, or, you know, just the melodies are just always going in my head. And I think that's also uplifting. It's something that keeps me going every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll just, I'll give you a challenge. If you're facing some difficulties, if doubts, try praising. Try singing. Mm-hmm. Try singing something like, "Great is thy faithfulness." Mm. And I guarantee your doubt will be eased by the song. Mm. Because it's impossible. Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe we have a caller on the line.
Sure.
And we'll take that call right now. Do we have our caller? Welcome to the show, Donna. We're not picking it up over here.
Yeah.
That looks like we're losing her. All right, we'll try a little later. There you are. Hi, welcome to Storyline.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great.
I just had a comment. You mm-hmm. were talking about music and how children relate to it. Mm-hmm. And my comment that I wanted to say was, it is so true, because I was trying to teach my grandson and my niece scripture, mm-hmm. and I was able to do it through making up a song to the scripture. Proverbs 3:5-6 was one of the ones that I taught to her, and she was able to get it in maybe a 5 or 10 minute little session.
Wow, and you composed your own little melody to go with that?
Yeah, just the Lord just gave me a little melody and I put it together, and she was able. So I just wanted to say, yes, music is most definitely the greatest avenue I've found with children to help them learn God's word and to hide it in their heart.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. Thank you for
thank
that.
You.
And blessings for your continued music ministry with your kids. Thank you.
God bless you all too. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, definitely, Donna just reconfirmed what we've been speaking about over here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Fantastic power of music. Now, music is a very positive power. As you were saying, the melody sticks for a long time. But I've also noticed, years later, I've heard other, just maybe something sparks it, and I have another song coming into my head that I can't get rid of, that I'd love to get rid of. I don't know, is there some way to get music out once it's in?
Unfortunately, not. Music has this power to just break into every single filter your mind has. So it goes straight to your subconscious. And so that's why we have so much, have to be so careful about what we listen to. Because after it's inside, sorry, you can't get it out. I mean,
and you have no control.
You know the expression, uh-huh. Right? If you try to forget something,
It's there.
If you keep thinking about it, you're not going to forget it. So if you try to forget, it just doesn't work.
Okay, well, thank you. That's not terribly encouraging, but thank you. But at least there's the warning out there then. So it would be a whole lot easier to make sure that you get the good stuff in rather than trying to get rid of things you don't want.
But you know, I'm not so sure that you can't get it out. I'm not so sure about that. I agree that it does pass sometimes your filters. And therefore can, you know, be lodged within your memory for a time and for a season, maybe longer than you expected it would or that you believed that it could. But, you know, the Bible tells us that God can wipe away all sins and he can cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So I'm not so sure that if there's something that's stuck in our mind or that is from an unhealthy past experience, that we can't get it out.
The thing is, there's a trick.
Yes.
There's a trick.
Okay, Clay.
Your little player in your head can only play one song at a time. Okay? So the thing is, you can't erase something that it's in, but you can replace it for something else. So as much as you listen to good stuff, then the good stuff is going to stick to your mind.
And it's going to replace
exactly
what you have in.
Now, and as a teacher, I'm constantly replacing stuff that my kids are listening to. You know, I can't always control what they're listening to on their iPods. But what I can do as a teacher is present something different, something praiseworthy, something that's going to uplift them. And the greatest thing for me is to see that student after they've learned something from Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, and then just to see... Mr. Martinez, that was the most awesome thing we sang, and that's the thing that they're singing in the hallways. To me, I've done my job.
Exactly.
That is rewarding.
Absolutely.
Well, let's take from these very experienced professionals that we have here. How do you make your music selection? Maybe just one or two points, each of you, to help us as we try to filter out what all is there and make good music selections.
The biggest thing for me, my dad said, Robert, have an open mind with your music. And he would give me, here, listen to this from Handel's Water Music or something like that. And I said, all right, Dad, I'll try that. And from that point, I was hooked. And to me, just having that open mind to not just listen to one style of music, but listen to other style of music, gospel, listen to jazz, you know, listen to stuff that's going to uplift you and don't just be so, you know... one-minded on your music, and that will help.
So you're saying variety is the key?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Be open-minded.
What are you saying, Clay?
Well, I will go sort of on the same route here, but me personally, I think as most of the people do, I will normally choose my music according to my mood. So if I need something a little more uplifting on that day, I'm feeling more enthusiastic about something, I would probably choose something. If I'm coming from a stressful day, I'll probably turn into the classical station, something a little more soothing. And for my meditation moments, I'll always go for something more meditative, something more reflective, something, I mean, that's how I personally
That's how choose. You do your choosing. Okay,
exactly.
Thank you. And David, we leave you with the last jewel.
Nugget. Philippians 4:8 tells us there are things that are of good report, true, trustworthy, of these things, think on these things. And so that's my focus. It's not just for music, it's for everything. Mm-hmm. That's our filter. If it's of good report, if it has virtue, if it represents the character of God and draws my heart to Him, then that's what I want in my life, whether it be music, whether it be preaching, whether it be any other kind of experience in my life. I want to bring those things in that line up with that verse.
Absolutely. Well, it has been a pleasure having you gentlemen with me. Thank you so much to Robert, David, and to Clayton. This has been a good musical journey. If you came in halfway through the program and missed out, don't worry. All is not lost. You can go to hopetv.org/storyline. You can watch this episode and any other episode at your leisure. If you have a way of helping kids enjoying singing in family worship, or you want to share how music has helped you in your spiritual battle, go to our website, post on Facebook or Twitter. Oh, and remember that we're available on iTunes Store as a podcast. Now, don't go anywhere. There's still more after the break. Today we looked at music in the story of Jehoshaphat. I realize that music moves the story. It's not just Jehoshaphat that has battles to fight. I'm in the middle of a war zone too. And I'm in the middle of this great war between good and evil, God and Satan. While I was studying the story, I realized that music's not neutral. It really affects me spiritually. The good news is that music is also a powerful weapon in my daily battles. I can use it personally or with my family. Music's a great mood changer, and I can use it, like Jehoshaphat did, to express my faith even when things look grim. I can open myself to God's working through music, and of course, it's a great way of saying thank you when I see God act in my life. Some years ago, I had a miscarriage, and it was one of my darkest moments. I was lying in surgery in a foreign country feeling very alone. As the anesthetic took effect, I heard someone singing a hymn. I later woke up with that melody still in my mind. And that song really gave me hope and comfort as I faced a very difficult time. Music was that key, that prayer, that weapon that I needed at that difficult time. Until the next time, I'd like to invite you to sing as you place the plot of your storyline in God's hands.